You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did we celebrate the Holy Great Prince Vladimir, who was the enlightener of the Russian lands, the one who was the great prince of Kiev, responsible for the baptism of Rus? And I think it's really important for us, and it's quite interesting that the readings that are prescribed for St. Vladimir are also the readings prescribed for holy bishops. Because there's a sense in which kingship, especially Orthodox kingship, is understood to be as a kind of a parallel sacrament to the episcopacy. Of course, in the Orthodox Church, kingship is a holy mystery, a holy sacrament. It's not enumerated among the seven, but it's certainly there as one of the great sacraments. It's only, of course, not experienced by all of us, but only by a very few, and rather seldom nowadays, at least for the time being. Because what is that task of kingship? It's to recapitulate the people. It's to stand in the place of the people as one responsible to God for the people, and to pray for them and to intercede for them and to love them and to show them God's mercy and God's kindness, and to be an image of God's kingship. That's what an Orthodox king is about. It's not somebody who's necessarily going to be some kind of a tyrant. It's not about some kind of tyrant or anything like that. But it's rather one who stands before God for his people. A bishop is very similar. Only the bishop is, instead of in the place of the king, the bishop is the image of Christ, the great high priest. Well, the king is the image of Christ, the king. And it's so important for us to remember that, like the bishop, the king is one who is answerable to God for the people. And so it was the application of his wisdom and his intuition that the Orthodox Christian faith, that faith where he had sent representatives to Constantinople to see what was going on, and they came back and said, we didn't know whether we were in heaven or on earth. And so he had that intuition, that spiritual insight of truth, of a truth which transcends doctrinal propositions or philosophical ideas, but of truth itself, who is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is enthroned with the Father in heaven, and who is the great King of the Kingdom of God. Prince Vladimir saw this, and he wanted it for his people. Of course, the story is that he looked at all these other religions. He looked at Judaism, because the Khazars, which were nearby in kind of what's now eastern Ukraine, had converted to Judaism, and they had to be circumcised, so that was out. Then he looked at Islam, and they didn't drink, and knowing his people, the Russians, that was out. And he looked at the Latins. And, you know, the Latin church was very, well, at that time there wasn't much in Rome. At the time of Prince Vladimir in the 10th century, Rome was basically a bunch of ruins with about 10,000 people living in villages among the ruins. It had some grand churches, but kind of sad remnants of what was of a shattered empire. But it didn't have that, didn't convey that spiritual depth that going to liturgy in the Hagia Sophia in the great imperial church in Constantinople did. Because truly the whole ethos of Orthodox worship is that you don't know whether you're in heaven or on earth, right? And isn't that our own experience even today? It's not a matter of whether everything goes right or not, or whether so-and-so makes a mistake, or whether some altar boy lights another one on fire or something like that. We hopefully that doesn't happen. It's a successful liturgy if nobody lights anybody on fire. But it's what the liturgy is about is that it's transparent to the kingdom of heaven. And when we come to the liturgy and when we experience that, when we step out of the world and into the temple, we step away from this fallen world and all of its brokenness, into the living presence of God, into the radiance of the grace of the kingdom. Saint Vladimir took his role very seriously as the one who was responsible before God for his people. Floating around the internet, it's quite interesting. You can read the prayer of consecration of an Orthodox czar. It was the prayer that was read at the consecration of Saint Nicholas Romanov, the czar, last czar, where he accepts that responsibility for their salvation. And like a spiritual father, he stands before God with them, even at the judgment. What a profound and beautiful thing Orthodox kingship is. And what an awesome responsibility it is. We have to give thanks to God that St. Vladimir took this role so seriously, that he was willing to sacrifice everything and change centuries-old traditions of his people so that they could enter into that living experience of the kingdom of God and become Orthodox Christians. The conversion of St. Vladimir has created or occasioned the baptism not only of the tens of thousands of people of Kievan Rus of 1,000 years ago, and today marks the 1,000th year, the anniversary of his repose, but all of those who followed him, the Russians and the Ukrainians and the Belarusians and all of the people who were evangelized by them. The conversion of St. Vladimir represents one of the most radical movements in the entire history of Christianity, whereby the entire Slavic nation, the entire Slavic people, came to Christ, came to Orthodoxy, and has remained firm and steadfast in the Orthodox faith. And then, on top of that, they evangelized how many hundreds of peoples and how many dozens of nations across the course of history. Remember, at the end of the Russian Empire, towards the end of the 19th century, the liturgy was being served in 120 different languages just within the Russian Empire. Only a few of them were Slavic languages. It was everything from Tibetan to Chinese to Native American languages to Native Siberian languages. Hundreds of peoples became Orthodox Christians because of that conversion of St. Vladimir. So let us give thanks to God for him. Let us pray that he who is our spiritual father in Christ may continue to intercede for us before the throne of God. And let us give thanks for that tremendous step which he made, a step into faith, which has allowed all of us, his spiritual descendants, whether Slavs or not Slavs, it doesn't matter, to embrace the Orthodox faith and to enter into that living experience of the kingdom of heaven. We're coming into the temple. We know not whether we're in heaven or on earth.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.